Now, the message I have this morning is called 20th Century Negative Confession. And you'll understand why I preach it as I get along in this message. But before I read the scripture, and there's going to be a lot of scripture read, let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, again we come nigh unto you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing, my God, that we've assembled ourselves here together for the one great purpose, and that's to worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth. And we know, Lord, that many, many people do worship you in spirit. They worship you in their own human spirit. Some even try to worship you in the spirit of the devil, having been absolutely deceived by cults and isms and spiritisms and denominations. And some, Lord, have got that far. And others, Lord, have anointing of the Spirit upon their soul, and they know what it is to have great emotion and great affection for you, to love you, Lord, and to believe that they are living right, not realizing that the Scripture has said that Judas affectionately kissed you when he betrayed you. So, Lord, we know that this won't count either, but there is a bride, hallelujah, and she's dressed in the righteousness of the robes of the glory of Almighty God. And she worships you in spirit and in truth, because she's been delivered from the bondage of corruption of this end time of denominationism by the word of the living God, and the Spirit of Christ has been liberated from the creeds and the dogmas that bound him. And so this morning, Lord, we know that we are amongst those who worship you in spirit and in truth, and our redemption draweth nigh. Blessed be the name of Jesus Christ. Oh God, this morning we pray, anoint us, not for any type of fluency, not for any type of beautiful message, Lord Jesus, that'll tingle the people's ears and make them to think something other than reality. The Lord, give us an anointing, we pray, amongst us. That'll bring out the truth. Oh, God, help us, we pray now, to be 100% identified with thee this morning. And we'll be careful to give you the praise and the glory, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah! Glory to God. I think we ought to praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus, this morning, Lord. Oh, God, how we ought to worship you and praise you. How we know you're coming, Jesus. It'll all be over pretty soon. How we don't know many things, Lord, but this one thing we know, God. We saw the revealed word. We saw the Son of Man revealed amongst us. We know in whom we have believed and are persuaded, oh, God, that this is reality. Blessed be the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Sweep over us, oh, God, in the spirit of humility, Lord Jesus, and a spirit of grace and a power of supplication, my God, that we might put everything incumbent upon us, O Jesus, which has not been previously fulfilled in our lives. For, Lord, we don't want to go part of the way, we want to go all the way. Thou art worthy, O Lord, hallelujah. Thou art worthy, O God. Thou art worthy, O God, hallelujah. Thou art worthy, O God, blessed be thy name. Thou art worthy, O God, and thy name is wonderful. Thy way is wonderful. Thou art altogether wonderful. We worship you, Jesus, this morning, and love you, O God. And somehow, Lord, we know that down deep inside there is a life that is moving, a life that is hid with Christ in God, a life, Lord, that's immortal, because very soon immortality will be put upon us. We worship you and praise you, Jesus, and magnify your lovely name. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I guess it's okay to get a little emotion the odd time. Sometimes I think I'm about emotional as a stick. But we ought to praise the Lord. Now, thinking on this subject, the 20th century negative confession, much scripture to read, we go back to the book of Numbers, the 13th chapter, verses 26 to 33. And when they went and came to Moses and to Aaron, after searching out the land, returning from Kadesh Barnea, and to all the congregation of the children of Israel, under the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, showed them the fruit of the land. That's those 12 spies. And they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sent us, Moses. Surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Great evidence. Great evidence of the fruit was in the land. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites and the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we're well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land to which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. And all the congregation lift up their voice and cried, and wept. The people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain, and let us return unto Egypt, into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation, children of Israel, Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it, it is exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land, and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us, and their defense is departed from them. The Lord is with us, fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me, and how long will it be ere they believe me, for all the signs which I have showed among them? I will smite them with the pestilence, and disinherit them, and make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. Over in Hebrews, the third chapter, a New Testament summation, beginning at verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. In other words, they put God to the test and wanted their own signs and their own wonders to see if they were going to believe that this was it. See? Now, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do all with error in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhorting one another daily, while it is called a day, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall not enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached enter not because of unbelief, again he limits a certain day in David, saying, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear my voice, harden not your hearts. For if Joshua, that word is not Jesus Christ, is Joshua, had given them rest, they would, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? See, Joshua couldn't bring them in. There remaineth therefore rest to the people of God. And he that has entered into his rest, he also ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Same example of unbelief. Notice, for the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is any a creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, 22 to 25. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. The word profession of faith is entirely erroneous. It's confession of hope without wavering, because it's his faithfulness that's going to do it, and it's our confidence in the word that's going to allow him to do it. For he is faithful to promise. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, Numbers 13, 26 to 33 is the historical account of a major New Testament doctrine, which I read to you in the book of Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, verses 7 to 19, wherein it is set forth that unbelief, or the failure to believe in the revealed and vindicated word of God for that day, and also for our day, brings death to all who will not act on that word. Now, I want to repeat that again, that the story, that the actual historical account of Israel failing to enter into the promised land came because they failed to believe the revealed and vindicated word of the day, and therefore it brought death. And because all who do not believe the revealed, vindicated word for their day die, they must act in faith upon that word. Now, let us look at why the majority in the time of Moses did not go into the promised land. In fact, the Bible says that except for Joshua and Caleb, everybody over 20 failed to go into the promised land. God let them die in great tribulation, as it were, because they did not believe. Now, it wasn't great tribulation as we know it, but it was tribulation, because they never went in. They died in that span, see? Now, let's examine and see the reason for their failure. Now, first of all, Moses attracted their attention by two signs. He gave them the sign of the fact of throwing down the rod, which turned into a serpent. And when that sign was duplicated, then, of course, God allowed him to put the other sign, which was putting his hand in his bosom, coming out leprous, putting it back in, and coming out whole. After those two signs were seen, of course, the people in Israel had their attention riveted upon him as somebody who had something to do with their destiny. And then, of course, when Israel began to accept him, he was able to go before Pharaoh in an actual contest. And in this contest, you will notice that not one time did he fail to perform what he said he would perform. He had thus set the Lord. And there was not one single time of failure that God did not back up exactly what Moses said. And because of this contest, wherein the last contest was spiritual death, he was able to lead them out of Egypt, through the Red Sea, up to Mount Sinai, where they saw the pillar of fire and heard the voice of God like thunder. It is in this time also that God gave them manna, gave them water and food for their animals, so that not one person was sick, and not one shoe were out, or not one garment became necessary to throw it away. Now, but when it was time for God to reap a harvest of their faith and take them in to the land of promise, they fell back and died. The reason for this was they saw the conditions that lay before them that God had laid down, and they fainted. See? They fainted. For God expected them to walk into their inheritance with only one asset, and that was faith in God. While in front of them stood every kind of hindrance, and they found every reason from these conditions to make them believe that they could not enter into the promised land with just one thing. That was the word which God had given them, which was a word of promise. Now remember, in this day, unless I forget to repeat it, we have been given a promise. I will restore, saith the Lord. And restoration is the foundation upon which the kingdom depends. See? Now, look at these reasons that loomed up before them. So they said, we cannot enter into the land. We cannot go into God's rest that He's promised us because we, with the word alone, because it just won't work. The Amalekites were there. The Hittites, the Amorites, the Jebusites, and the Bible said these were mighty men. In fact, the Bible says the sons of Anak were there, and they were giants in the land. Now remember that these men in Palestine were warriors. They were trained to fight. They were well able to destroy people. If they wanted to destroy them in a foray against another people, or somebody came against them, they were able to destroy them. Why? Because they were warriors. They were trained. But remember, Israel was a shepherd people. Israel was not trained in warfare. She had no one amongst her who could help them as far as being capable of directing their ability in a warlike manner. Furthermore, they didn't even have weapons, on the very ground that the pharaohs would not allow them to have weapons. Everything was taken from them which would give them any power of insurrection against the land of Egypt. And so they had no armaments whatsoever, even if they could fight. Now also they feared for their lives because they were overwhelmed. Now they said the land swallows the inhabitants. Now this is a true thing when it comes to military endeavor. Remember, Napoleon could have taken the world if he'd have kept out of Russia. But when he got into Russia, he couldn't keep supplies with his army, and his army died. Hitler attacked Russia, and the same thing happened. And if we attack China with an atomic bomb, it is likely we can only rip out 10% of the population and have about 90% left. See, there comes a time when you just can't go in and take a thing because you haven't got the resources. So they said, now, the land is too big for us. God gave us this great big thing here. And I can tell you right now, they said, we're not going to be able to do anything with it because it's too big for us. See, they also feared for the lives of their children and wives. Why, they said, why if we go in there and they turn on us, our wives and children are going to be destroyed. And that, of course, sounds very reasonable when you look at it. They panicked to think that God would give such undeserving, helpless ones as they were a victory. They began looking at themselves. And they said, now, how in the world are we going to do it? We haven't got a thing to commend us. We just don't seem to fit. Now, how is it going to be done that we can walk in here on the strength of the word of Moses that God gave to Moses and he gave to us, and we're going to go in there and take that land over and enter into that rest? See, they just couldn't get it. How can a people like us, the least of the nation, the ones who have the least to commend them, the one who can show the least of all, how in the world are we going to go in there and actually depose and take the place of those that are so firmly entrenched, as it were, with everything working for them? Why, that's how they got the land. That's how they got where they were. Now, how are we going to get them out and take over? They said to themselves, Moses hasn't given us enough whereby we can take the land. That's right. That's what they were saying. Some, no doubt, said, I haven't got a thing. In fact, ain't nobody got nothing. Right. Exactly what they were saying. That's what they said. They said to Caleb, you don't have a thing. They said to Joshua, you don't have a thing. And they said, Moses, somewhere down the line, you must have failed. There's something more got to happen. There's something more got to be done. Because this won't do it, what you're giving us. Now, do you know what they were doing? They were doing what my text did. They were giving a negative confession back to God, where the book of Hebrews tells us that we are to confess the reason, our hope, which is to say the same thing which God says, which is His word, because that's all you know that God said. See? What His indicated word said. Now, listen to their negative confession. It is to admit to a visible condition. See? Considering that condition, looking around and seeing things. Admit to it. Consider it. Believing in its natural conclusion rather than to stick with the word and say what the word says. Why, they looked around, and when they saw those conditions, which were at that time Why, they said we haven't got a chance. Look at the shape we're in. Look what's out there. See? They downgraded themselves and the Word of God, and thereby, when they believed opposite to what Moses said, they got what they believed for. They died. They never entered in. See? You understand me? I said when they begin to believe opposite to what Moses said, which was what God said, they got what they believe. Disbelief in the Word of God is always death. Changing one word of the God of God is always death. See? So they changed it. They denied it because they looked at themselves. See? I want to tell you, brother, sister, if there isn't something out here to look at, you'll never know whether you're right or wrong. Or in other words, you'll never have a standard. They picked the wrong standard. They picked the standard that said these folk are too big for it. They picked the standard judging by what they saw in themselves, what they saw out there. They never chose the Word of God, which is thus saith the Lord. They forgot that God said, thou worm Jacob, I'm going to make you thrash a mountain. He told him what he was. He said, you're a worm. Jacob said, I agree. Now he said, I'm going to make you thrash a mountain. He said, I don't agree. God said to Israel, I'm going to let you take that land. You're my chosen people. But they wouldn't agree with God. See? Israel never had a chance physically unless the supernatural occurred. Unless by grace God moved. And that is true. For Israel did not have a chance except for faith in the Word of God. The inhabitants of Palestine were able to destroy them. And all things considered, now listen to my language, all things considered, there was no way out but death if they ventured into the land. I said all things considered. But who gave us the right to consider anything but Christ the Word? Okay. It over this very illustration, in Hebrews 12, it says, considering him the Word who endured such great contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your mind. See? Who gave us the right to consider anything but the Word of God? Christ the Word. He said, if you consider anything else, you will faint in your mind and you will commit spiritual fornication and go to hell doing it. Do you hear me this morning? Amen. Do you hear me? Let me hear your amen. Say it. Amen. For the glory of God, not for evil, trying to get anything across. It is in the mind that man commits spiritual fornication. It is in his mind where the seed is planted, which is either true or false. And it's in this same scripture we're dealing with. He said, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners. What was the original contradiction of the original sinner? It was the devil in the serpent over the Word of God that denied it. You have the very same thing set forth here in the Word. It said, consider him, that Word, as he stood there revealed. And they went against it and they actually crucified and killed the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. Contradiction. The word contra is against, and the word geko is to speak. Speak against. Speaking against that Word. And speaking against that Word brings death just as it brought death back there. You do not consider, my brother, sister, anything at any time of a crisis point or a juncture point except that Word. Let's go to the book of Romans, the 4th chapter. Romans 17:22. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. God wrote it. Abraham became it. Okay? Before him, God, whom Abraham believed, who God, who quickens the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, God calls those things which be not as though they were, who when hope was gone, hoped on in faith, that he might become what God said he already was. According to that which is spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded what he had promised, he was able also to perform the faith of Abraham here, which Israel neglected. Even though they were children by the flesh, there was only two spiritual seed amongst them, because the faith of Abraham does not consider what you look like or what you are or what your condition is. The Bible said Abraham did not consider his own body now dead. The word consider means thoroughly perceive, to investigate thoroughly, to look it over and draw some conclusion from it. Abraham paid no attention to his body. It was dead. So was Israel, incapable of getting in that land outside the Word of God, just as Abraham was incapable of producing seed outside that Word of God being fulfilled by God in him alone, not by him trying to do it. When he tried to do it, he got in the shemazel. He brought forth an Ishmael. I believe if you rely upon anything but this word today, you'll be an Ishmael. Abraham had to rely upon the word. And even when the vindicated word was in his entire presence, as God came down and revealed himself before Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, he still had to rely upon that word and consider not his body still dead. It wasn't that miracle ministry that would give him the power to renew his body. No, sir, whatever God did at that time, reading the man's heart and reading his wife's heart and all of those things, that did not give it to him. It was God delivering that man, I mean God fulfilling his word in that man. God was faithful to his word, and Abraham expected God to fulfill that word, even though it was too late as far as physical things were concerned. Now, all but Israel, who should have done this, except for Caleb and Joshua, they refused it, and they provoked God, and they died in their sins. Now let us see this clearly. Israel had what appeared to be a legitimate reason to confess opposite to what Moses said. Now listen, and get this. The word that God gave to Israel by Moses was given to the very same Israel that fell. Now listen to my word, and get it carefully, because I've got it written down. The word God gave to Israel by Moses was given to the very same Israel that fell. The people that heard it and got it died. See, that word of promise did not tell Israel to dress up, to learn to fight, to pray harder, to learn tactics, but it said believe and go in. Because that's what Paul by the Holy Ghost said what it meant. They went not in because of unbelief. Therefore, get rid of your evil heart of unbelief. Now listen, Israel dying was the same Israel that heard the word of God and left it because it didn't seem to be enough. And I hope you're getting it. See? Remember, God gives food in season. The manna for every age, he gives it. And this is all you get. God sent a message to the messenger, and the messenger brought the message. He didn't bring anything else. Every sign and wonder was only to get your attention, to bring you to the Word. See? The Bible teaches that. Now listen again. If Israel would have only sung that song, just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, and taken the Word of God and walked in, she could have made it. And today, we are in the Laodicean church age, and we sing the same song, poor, wretched, blind, and miserable. That's the only song we can sing about ourselves. But it's out of that, it is out of that wretched, poor, miserable, blind bunch that God is trying to get a people who will go into the millennium by the pure faith in the word of the prophet. Right. It's out of this crippled, poor, wretched, blind, miserable bunch of Laodicea that God is trying to get a people to believe the word as delivered by the prophet. See? Otherwise, why did he send Elijah? Remember, the burden falls on Elijah to deliver the message, and so does the glory. I never got a shout out of you, but it's all right. I wouldn't have shouted either sitting down there because you're good listeners. But I said that all the burden of delivering that word falls on Elijah and the glory with it. And yet people say, you're following a man. Well, glory to God, he's a pretty good guy to follow. If you know somebody better, please let me know. What, you're Ellen White? You're Mary Baker Eddy? You're Assembly of God? You're Methodist creatures? No. As God did not call soldiers or statesmen or theologians in Moses' day, neither is he doing it now. As he did not call for an army of disciplined, hardcore, programmed Israelites, neither does he do so now. It is to believe the word of the hour. To believe the word of the hour is to believe Christ in this hour, and that is our hope. Let's go back to Hebrews, the 3rd chapter again. Beginning at 7th verse again. Listen. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today, if you will hear His voice. People say, well, don't you know the book of Hebrews over back here says, hath in these last days spoken unto us in the Son? They say, it's already been spoken. Why does He say, if the Holy Ghost said? When did He stop talking? What age did He cease to bring His message? Blind Laodicean. Willfully blind. Too smart to learn. Too dogmatic to bend. But there's nobody too big to crumble, because the stone carved without hands is going to crush everything on this earth. Today, if you'll hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness. God's setting before mankind preparatory to going in every type of temptation to see what's going to happen, whether they'll believe the word. Now, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works, listen, God will not do anything for you He is not disposed to do. Listen to me and get this carefully. I'll repeat it. God will not do anything for you what you ask Him unless He is disposed to do it, unless you are absolutely one of the non-elect. If you are one of the non-elect, God will give you any sign you want. He'll even make you believe you're going to rob another man's wife or another woman's husband. Sure. No problem. You're deceived anyway. Because God will not give any sign. Listen, do you hear what I read? It says, they proved me. They saw my works for 40 years. He said, I laid down what I wanted them to see and believe. I gave them the sign of the Messiah, which was the last sign. I gave them my word. I showed them it was I who was doing it. But they said, we want our own signs. We want our own ideas. We're not satisfied with the food in the season. We're not satisfied with what we saw. We've got to have something else. Now let's have it the way we want it. Okay? Now listen, wherefore I was grieved with that generation. That word in the Greek is breed of people. Not just a certain length of time, 40 years, or that's true, but that breed of people. What kind of breed of people are you? You've been bred by God? Or you're still a bunch of hybrids? Not speaking to you to be mean here. Not my purpose. It's just hitting a principle to jar you, to keep you on your toes. What are you? Are you part of that breed? He said, this breed of people shall not pass away till all things be fulfilled. And yet some folks say serpents, he's passed away. Hog what? I'm sorry for him, but I'll never agree with a lie. You've got them right today. Otherwise, how could God bring judgment on His seed that had been sanctified through Calvary? Blind Laodicea. Wanting their own word. Not the word of a vindicated prophet. This generation, this breed of people, this hybridized bunch will not pass away till every word's fulfilled, and then they will pass away, and they'll never be found root or branch. Hallelujah! Yeah. God having a redeemed land for redeemed people. Now listen, they do always err in their heart. There's no truth in inner man. They have not known my ways.
Let Brother Branham stand here to preach in 30, 40 years. Let him preach 100 years. Let him preach 150 years. They'll never catch on. They'll get used to him. Say, oh, that old bird. He's like, it's just like, no, 120 years standing here. They say, well. Still out of there, old boy. Still out of there. Well, he's getting nuttier by the year. Yeah, he said that 100 years ago. Yeah. You'll say 200 years now. Yeah. Trouble is, I can't figure out I live so long. You nut. What do you think? That's right. They're not going to change. You're not changed that breed. They never understood God's way. They'll never understand God's way. They don't know how God does things. They got their creeds and their dogmas, and they'll stand on them and argue and fuss and try to destroy others. Just love them and go on your way. Don't be partakers of their folly, brother, sister. Now listen, I swear in my wrath. Now if God gets mad, there's no use you and me getting mad. That's our trouble. We get mad. Don't get mad, then, Brother Vale. Got to preach to myself that time. Don't get mad. Let God do that. They shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. How do they depart? By leaving the word. But exhort one another daily while it is called today. That's the same as in Romans 10. I mean, the Hebrew 10 over there. Assemble yourselves and provoke each other. Exhort each other, see, while it's called today, while you still got time, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, unbelief. For we are made companions of Christ. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, while it is said today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that sinned, whose carcasses fell in the great tribulation? Certainly. You say, Brother, thank you, put that in there. I told you he did. Begin the message. They went through, as it were, tribulation. Didn't they? Certainly, they died. And to whom? Swear he that they should not enter in his rest. But to them that believe not. Believe what? They didn't believe the word of God is applied to them, that God would do what he said. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Now notice in verse 14, but for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. In the book of Hebrews, it tells you here that you can taste, you can be a partaker of the Holy Ghost. You can taste the good word of God. You can have the power of the world to come. And you can still disbelieve that word is applied to you and miss it. See? Now listen. Verse 15. Today, while it is today, if you will hear his voice. I thought he spoke good speech again. He's still speaking. If you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. I ask you a question. What provocation? There's only one provocation I know, and that's when Moses was here on earth, and the people rose up against him, and Israel would not go in. And the Bible says, Jannes and Jambres and Moses will repeat again. So the warning here in the day of provocation, when your minister friend, and your Christian friend, and your brothers, and the rest rise up and say, would you believe that nonsense? I want to tell you, if you're not prepared to give up your father and your mother and your sister, your brother and your connections and your welfare and your social security and everything in this land, you'll never make the kingdom, brother, sister, because it's got to go. Hey. There's a provocation going on. God provoking the people by sending a prophet to upset their apple cart. Letting them see the truth. Show me one man that could stand against Moses with vindication. Show me one man that had thus said the Lord. Show me one man that God backed up with his word. You show me today a man that could stand against the prophet William Branham who came here as Elijah's fourth appearance. See? Listen. Verses 18 and 19. And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not. God absolutely takes an oath upon himself that in the day of provocation, when he shows his mighty works, they disbelieve, he takes an oath, they shall not enter in. And they say, I want to tell you, hallelujah, I'll look back upon the cross of Jesus Christ. I'm saved by the blood. I want to tell you, they came out of Egypt by the blood. They were saved to the Red Sea, sanctified, but they never went in. Neither will this group go in. Talk all they want about having the Holy Ghost being sanctified and this and that and the other thing. Absolutely no truth. no truth to it. They will not grin because God swears. And he swears by himself. All right? So we see. We see it. There it is, he said. We see it. They couldn't grin because of unbelief. God's vindicated word for the hour of that day. Now apply this to Hebrews today in Hebrews 4:1-2. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise, being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now listen, literally verse 1 says this, let us therefore fear lest a promise at any time being left behind. A promise somebody didn't pick up. You left behind your umbrella. Not the umbrella was left for me when you left it there, but you left it behind. See, people say, well, a promise of God was left us. That's not what it says. The people had the chance to pick it up and wouldn't pick it up. You follow me? That's what it means was left. It remains. It sits there because the people didn't want it. William Branham spread a bunch of food on the table in Jefferson's tabernacle. He laid the word of God there. Sister Collins' own dream. She came in and saw the wonderful food. Brother Nibble was there. And she turned her back and went down to Ranch Burger. And when she did, the light went out. And Brother Branham said, that dream interprets itself. Well, you put your own interpretation on it. I think I explained it to you. Not talking about Sister Collins, not talking about the dream. Because the dream was made public for the people. That the food was there, and they left it. Now, supposing somebody else smells it. They say, man, it smells good. Where's it come from? Man, I'm telling you. Oh, that's great. Sure. They open the door and see it. They say, who's it belong to? It was left. The other people didn't want it. Can I have it? Be my guest. There you are. That's what it says here. See, I want you to get the picture. Let us therefore fear lest the promise at any time. Any time. What time is this time? Christ is returning to earth to catch away his bride, having already descended and appeared as the word. Let the promise at any time being left behind and still remaining of entering into his rest. Any of you, listen, should think he has fallen short of it or come too late. They said in Israel, well, we can't get there. We've fallen short. I don't believe looking at us as a people, we're going to make it. See? They were thinking. See? And the mind being the womb, it went down to the heart. See? Now the same thing applies today. Lest anybody thinks he comes too late. They say, well, since Brother Branham's gone away, Brother Dale, is it too late for us to come? What does the Bible tell you? My God, can you read Scripture? Can you hear? And don't you ever tell anybody he's coming too late. Could be you might be part of the ones going to turn it down before it's all over. I don't say that to hurt anybody. We just better watch where we're going because I look all around the land. And I'm preaching this morning because of things I see and hear as I go around America. People say, I believe this word. I'm checking it out this morning. He said here, any of you should think he has fallen short of it or come too late. Anytime there's a promise left, I want to ask you a question. Has Jesus Christ yet come and snatched away the bride? Not to our knowledge, no. Has it been a resurrection? No, not yet. Certainly not to my knowledge. I know we're going to know somehow. If we all miss it this morning, we somehow know. Don't worry, we somehow know. Then listen, don't let anybody think he's short of that promise. Because it still remains. This is one that couldn't be picked up because it wasn't time. Now the part that you can pick up or leave is the fact you want to be a part of this word. Because it's the body of the word that's coming out of the grave to marry Jesus. Right? Because he is the word and the bride's got to be word because it's kinsman redeemer. And she is his sister, my spouse, my beloved, my sister. If Jesus doesn't marry his sister, he doesn't marry anybody. Because remember, the bride is of one source. They are all of one source, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one source, which is God, which is Jesus and the bride. Therefore, he's not ashamed to call them brethren. And in the midst of the church, the firstborn will I sing. He's going to praise the bride. You're lovely. You're altogether beautiful. My spouse, my sister, my beloved. See it? All right, listen. Don't you see, don't you say, I don't think I'll make it. Don't you ever say, it's too late for someone to come. You just stay with the word. See? Israel left. Israel fell by looking at themselves. They had fallen short. And they said, there's no hope. Nobody's going to make it outside of grace. Israel never would have made it with anything. She could do anything she wanted. She still wouldn't do any good. Because Israel didn't know the secret. See, the secret was at the right time, the angel of God would appear and just take over. See, Joshua saw him face to face. And Joshua and Caleb typed those who go in. Stay with the word, and one day you'll see him face to face. Not revealed by the word now, but there'll be an actual revelation, I believe, of Christ in the bride. We don't look at ourselves for faith. We look to Christ the Word, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and He is the Word of God. That is what God backs up and brings to pass. His Word. Now, if His Word already is passed in you, how can He back it up and bring it to pass? See? It's yet to be all brought to pass. The first part has been brought to pass. Is that right? Yes, He backed it up, didn't He? Brought it to pass? All right, will He not back up the rest of this to bring it to pass? Certainly. See? Now, believe the message of the hour, and we will believe that message of the hour if we are part of this word, and God will bring us in to the promised land. Look at Hebrews 4, 11 and 12. Let us therefore labor to enter into that rest, lest any man should fall after the same example of unbelief. Where's the greatest battle ever fought in the mind? To learn to stop considering what is contrary to the revealed word. For, no, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder soul and spirit, the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, and neither is there any creature that is not manifested. Show me the time that anybody could hide when William Branham, by the discerning word of God, the Holy Ghost in the prophet, could not tell every heart and take 5,000 human beings under his control in 1 minute. And people say they got what William Branham had. They're liars and the truth is not in them. Let any man stand up and say, I take every human being, every spirit under my control. There's only one person could say that, and that is God himself, and God was in the prophet by the Spirit. And God manifested it was God because the word came to pass. There wasn't one person who was hidden. Like he said in Macon that time, he said, this man could be a hypocrite. I don't know that he is. But if he's a hypocrite, you watch what happens. He'll carry most people. Wouldn't that be fine for a man to challenge him like that? Has it happened? Several occasions. There wasn't one that didn't die. Say, Brother Dale, that's terrible kind of power. We don't want that in our church. That's fine. You just take what you want and go where you're going. Judgment begins in the house of God, brother, sister, but judgment's got to come. And God judges his house here, so it won't be judged there. Some men send their sins on ahead. Others wait to catch up. May God pity us. We won't be in that group. I want them under the blood. Listen. Now listen here. As you see it. Verse 11. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. See? Labor. Work at it. How? 2 Corinthians 10. Bring your fifth chapter, gives it. Bringing every thought into captivity. No, it's 2 Corinthians 10 chapter. Casting down reasoning, verse 5. And that's your reasoning. every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and bringing every thought, what every thought? His thought. What did Brother Branham say? The words of the prophet are the thoughts of God. Bring into captivity every one of our thoughts. Go down. When he says it, we don't stop it. If he seems to say two different things, wait until God shows you why he said what seems to be two different things. It'll come. Hasn't failed me yet. It's not about to fail. Not boasting, just telling me. Just wait. It'll come. Let us labor. There's the labor. Well, I'm going to empty a hospital. I'm going to have a great ministry. You've got to come to me. Pretty empty, isn't it? Sounds a lot fuller. Stick with the word. Nuts to the empty barrel. Anybody can talk. Come to me. What for? Swill? When did even the prophet of God say, come to me? He talked in a veiled manner and put it down the road. He talked in a veiled manner and put it out. But men make bold. And they say, you're going to have to hear me. Or they're going to sweet talk you. Oh, yeah. Are you blind this morning or are you awake? Wake up, brother, sister. Wake up. Wake up this morning. Stay with the word. We're not involved in personalities anymore. We're involved in a raggedy tag of Israel who couldn't even open a brass door, let her walk into Palestine. Who didn't have anything but the vindicated word of a prophet that says, you go on up and I'll give it into your hand. You don't look at yourself. You look at the word. You don't hear any other voice. But these are 10 great men. Only two say different. The 10 great men say, don't go. Oh, brother, sister, I hope I'm wrong, but I'm looking to see a shaking yet. There'll be a couple of us left. Say, well, you think Brother Dale Summers is going to go? I don't mean any personal conflict, any of you here. I wouldn't know. What if I went down the drain? I'm a great runner from things. I'm a coward. I'm not very bold. Just talk big at times. Nobody's trying to fool anybody. But I'm laying it on the line because I got to meet myself to judge if I'm going to be judged at that throne. I hope not. I hope everything's lined up. I'm believing it. You say, you talk negative one time, positive time. You listen to the prophet. You listen to Paul. Nobody talks big except in this word. Stick with this word. That's all I say. Stick with this word here, see? Now, lest they fall after the same example of unbelief. What were they doing? They were about to go in. They never went in. Jesus never came, as Brother Branham said, to lead them into the millennium. He knows, sir, he came to be the blood sacrifice, if which they had accepted the whole, he would have blessed them. But no, they turned him down. They killed him. And this is the end time. We're going to go in now or forget it. There'll never be a going in. Now, the same example of unbelief. The vindicated prophet with the word. Who are we going to believe? The vindicated prophet and a few people who stick with the word? Or a lot of folks that look pretty good run around. Or stick around, do this and do that. Not just run around as I was running around preaching, but I mean just use that term. See, now listen. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder soul and spirit. And he did it. Joined in marrow, discerning thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, what did he do? This word of God that came, which was Christ, was absolutely manifested that it was he in this 20th century. Because he discerned the very thoughts and intents of the heart. Right? This very same word in Moses' day, this very same God, this very same example once more occurs, it's reoccurring today, and we saw the prophet of the 20th century, William Branham, and the word of God, which is quick and powerful. Listen, you can divide the body with a razor blade. You'll never know what makes us click. You'll never dissect that mind to know what makes a man tick. So let a prophet stand up. He'll tell you from the day you're born to the day you die. God tries the heart. God knows. And that manifested word which was the prophet? And the revealed word, which was Jesus Christ by the Holy Ghost, sprang into full revelation and there discerned every heart, and nobody could hide. Try as they might, there was no escape. Every joint and every marrow. Even the body of Christ lay bare. And he said, put the church in order. This is the doctrine. This is the way you do it. And they turned it down. See? Now listen. Hold on in faith to that word and go to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. 19 to 25, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near the true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled with evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Now, where do you find that scripture, bodies washed with pure water? What for? Where do you get it? I don't know any place in the Bible where I'm supposed to have my body washed with pure water. He just said, repent and be baptized, everyone, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now he talks about pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of hope without wavering. What's our hope? Our hope today, under the actual truth of the Word of God, is the resurrection and the rapture. The promise of restoration to bring it about. And let us, without wavering now, because he's faithful, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love, to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approach. Now listen. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter in to the holiest by the blood of Jesus. As Brother Branham said, at one time it was death to enter in behind the veil, and now it's death not to enter in. At one time it was death even to try to go where Moses went. But now if you don't go where Moses went, you'll never make it. If you don't get right back to that pillar of fire, right back to that word, the same way the prophet was, you'll never make it, and I'll never make it. You say, Brother Ben, will I be a prophet? I didn't say that. I said, you got to get back to where he went, to the pillar of fire. Because if you got that word, you will be at that same pillar of fire. You won't have a pillar of fire falling. You won't be a prophet or prophetess. You won't have a great ministry. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the word. See? It's got to be the word of the prophet. God is the only prophet. He was a prophet in the garden that said, don't eat of that tree, don't change one word. But she did it. And she died. Now it says here, it's death if you don't get behind that veil. It's death if you don't enter in now to the living word of Almighty God. See? We have this high priest. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Why full assurance? Brother, sister, you cannot have full assurance of faith until faith has run its course. Here it is said. You cannot have full assurance of faith until faith runs its course, which is the Word of God running its course. Let me go, let's keep your finger here and turn back to the book of Romans, the 4th chapter. Listen. I have made thee a father of nations, as it's written. And he believed God, who when hope was gone, hoped on in faith, that he might become the father of nations, or might become what God said he already was. So shall thy seed be. Consider not his own body now dead. Did not stagger. Fully persuaded. Now listen, in verse 21, and being fully persuaded. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. The full assurance of faith cannot come until it's just rapture time. Right. They've been pressing into that veil. For 2,000 years they've been pressing in. But they've all died. And they've stayed in the ground. But there's coming a day when the word of God has run its course. So shall thy seed be, which is that original seed, brings forth the rest, which is a harvest at the end time, which is just like Christ. Now, to do it, there's got to be full assurance of faith. You follow me? You getting what I'm talking about? Are you puzzled? Anybody, raise your hand if you're puzzled. Let me see. You puzzled? Want to get this across to you. All right, you get it now. Full assurance of faith brought the Son. But the Son could not come until the time for that word. That's why he hung on and hung on. Now listen, full assurance does it to bring the Son to the bride, to bring forth the manifested seed of Christ, the manifested sons of God. Not what latter rain talked about. We're talking about the real scriptural one. Now you see, this full assurance of faith came how? By the word of the first, for Abraham's first year, and the second year, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, down, 20 years or so went by, and then the full assurance of faith came. Faith came, see? Now, we've had the word of God coming down. What? Through the seed of Abraham. through the bride of Jesus Christ. And now at the end time, the full assurance of faith by Elijah turning the hearts of the children back to the fathers. And the full assurance of faith will absolutely bring forth Jesus Christ into a bride and bridegroom relationship in the marriage supper of the Lamb. It couldn't come before. It couldn't come before. So what does Paul say? Paul said here, because this is true, hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. What is word hope? The word hope in the Greek is earnest expectation. What is earnest expectation? What I can get from God because God seriously, soberly gave it to me. Have you ever heard a man preach like William Branham for sincerity and sobriety? Have you ever known a man so sincere and uncorruptible? You never did, you never will. You never knew a more sincere man. Absolutely dedicated, and I'm sure it seemed ludicrous in the sense of what goes on in the world. He seemed so old-fashioned, so old-fogey. That's right, he was out of place. Like a horseshoe nailed here in the 20th century jet age. You don't see any horseshoe nails around, but you see a lot of old tires out there. But he was just as out of place as the horseshoe nail was. He's taking the faith of the children back to the fathers to bring about the full assurance of faith in order to do what? In order to produce the son of the marriage supper of the Lamb. See? You follow me? All right. Now, we understand that. And he said, hold fast your earnest expectation. Hold that word of God. Why? Because he's faithful. Oh, I'm looking, Brother Dale, for this great thing. I'm looking for that. If I just had this, if I just had that, I said, hold your expectation. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to that word. Hold to what the prophet brought. Because God is faithful. Didn't say you and I were. Says he is faithful to promise. Let us consider one another. To provoke. That means to excite your paroxysm. Excite each other to hold to this word. Ain't nobody got nothing. If I came and preached this negative way, I'd bust two people up. Just exactly what happened down the line not long ago. A man went in preaching. Ain't nobody got nothing. They said, what are we coming together for? They quit. That's right. You think I don't know what's going on? First thing I came and said, you ain't nobody got nothing. You know what you ought to do? Don't just say, Brother Bill, we'll pray for you. He said, we're going to tie a tin can in your tail and pray while you go down the road. That may sound mean, but you better protect yourself. You better protect yourself. I'd try to be so honest. If I was going to cut your throat 5 minutes from now and you said, Brother Dale, give me an answer, I'd tell you the truth before God, but I'd cut your throat 5 minutes later. You follow what I'm talking about? I'm not going to cut anybody's throat. That's my nature. And I say this, if I preach negative, forget me. If I say you ain't got nothing. Paul said, get yourself together and tell the boat you ain't got nothing. And he said, look at each other. And get everybody so excited they go to pieces. Ain't nobody got nothing. The word provoke means to excite to a paroxysm. That's right, to excite to a paroxysm. To get them frenzied to believe what God said. I'd sooner be a Pentecostal, jump up and down, I would. I'd sooner be an emotional Pentecostal and follow these men around the country. Absolutely be a dyed-in-the-wool Trinitarian Pentecostal, jump up and down, tongue-tongue, emotional man, than be a Branhamite who turns on this word. You say, anybody got none? Because my Bible said to excite to a paroxysm. Get excited. Get excited about the word. Ain't nobody got nothing. I used to look around 10 and say, ain't nobody got anything. No, sir, anybody got anything? Well, don't tell me ain't got nothing. Amen. You bare-faced liars. Well, you had your checks and your pension and everything else. Old Lee Dale tried to serve God. Isn't that right, Ray? Ray was the first man that got behind me on the view. I didn't have a cent really on the counter. But I said, I'll serve the prophet of God. Laid down everything I had. The fall when they tried to cut my throat doing, but I stood it. Don't tell me I haven't gotten anything. Not both in it. Don't tell me God doesn't supply my needs. Don't tell me because I'm out of debt and I stand here and I'll go to Europe if God gets me, I'll pay every cent of myself. I don't need any man. Don't tell me. Not boasting, just telling you the truth. Ain't got nothing? Listen, I've got so much, I'm ashamed I do so little with it. I've got so much, I hate myself because I'm not the man I should be. I've got so much, I'm richer than kings. Richer than princes and souls, everybody sitting here in the presence of Almighty God. assemble ourselves and say, just everybody, nobody got nothing. Who are you trying to kid? Huh? Time we woke up to the Word of God. Ain't nobody going to make it on this. Ain't nobody going to make it there. Is that a fact? Don't tell that to me. So this was given an example here. You say, Brother Dale, you think something's coming? There's a whole lot of things coming. I know what they are. But I know one thing. If I don't believe this word at this point I'm at, I'm not going to believe down the road. I'm going to be so scared that ain't nobody got nothing. Ain't nobody got nothing. And what I'm looking for, I won't get because God said, you can't eat. You better believe what I'm doing.
Amen.
See, what's God doing in this hour? The prophet said, they're lying in the sun. We'll get to that in a minute. Listen, he said here, not forsaking the assembly, but exciting to paroxysm, exhorting one another, encouraging and helping and blessing, and so much the more as you see the day approach. You know what? They're doing less of it today. Yeah, they're coming together less. They're less encouraging than used to be. Some are finding great outlets and healing programs and things. We gave away this much money and that much money. You know, like us all to do. I wish we had the courage to burn every plug nickel we got, every charge for everything else, and just see what God will do for us. Where is the romance of serving Jesus Christ gone to? My. I'm not just diverging and making fun. I'm trying to get a truth across. Not just for you, but for me. I stand here just as anybody stands. I preach at me more than I preach at you, if you only knew it. See? Now listen. This 25th verse, which he tells us to excite to paroxysm, is based upon the fact that we have a confession. We have a faith. Which is based on the Word. Now listen, see the warning in verses 26 and 7. For if we sin willfully, what is sin? Unbelief. After we have received the knowledge of the truth. All right, hold your finger there. Quickly turn back to 2 Thessalonians. The second chapter. And it said, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth. But had pleasure in unrighteousness. They took pleasure in going against the prophet word. They took pleasure in saying, ain't nobody got nothing. I'm showing what Israel went through. Ain't nobody got nothing. There is a promised word. There is a vindicated prophet. There it is. God said so. We're listening, brother, sister. Brother Branham preached what I'm preaching. You know it. He said we're ready to go in. Ain't nobody got none. That's exciting. Why? I wish you were back in the days of Elijah. A little old widow sat there. Not a widow. She was a married woman. Had no children. He looked around and he said, something I can do? She said, no. She said, no, we're well fixed. I built a little house there. That's because the house was well fixed. I could do it. How's the crop? Well, I never had better. How's the husband? Best man in the world. How was the new clothes? Nah, I got things. Let me do something. Nah, I don't need anything, John. We got it made. It's wonderful. Elijah said, what are they going to do? He said, what do you do? That woman supposed to be sad, but hasn't got a son. See, same spirit in Elijah and Elijah. Same spirit. Elijah had double. She hasn't got a son. Well, let's pray to God and give her a son. Now you go today in the same condition. Elijah's back here. The same spirit. You say, how you doing? Oh, rotten. How's work? Oh, I'm greatly confused. Brother says so-and-so. Brother says so-and-so. I mean, I think I'll just quit. Huh? You couldn't stump that old girl. When the boy died and things really looked at a poor path was all over, she thought, she knew as far as she was concerned it couldn't be over because that son hadn't matured. And hadn't married to raise up her name to his father? She said, I'm going to go to the prophet right now. Why? Because he had the word. Charging down that road. Here's old Elisha looking out and said, hey, he said, I believe that's that woman. Man, is she really galloping? Said, she, there's something going on. Said, you go and meet her. Said, she got a little bit, you know, chicken right now. Back to eight. Said, something's going on. God didn't show him. What's the matter? Oh, nothing. Everything's well. My boy did, though. But he's going to be okay because you're going to come down and raise him. Is that the kind of talk we hear going on today? Not that I've heard around the country. Preachers running around saying, ain't got nothing. We're trying to sweet talk you somewhere off here somewhere. Brother, sister, I go, I want to look this thing in the eye. See, look, I can look around and see all this discord. I can see all these things. But my Bible said look up because it's going to get worse. Hallelujah. And that's the time to look up. The squeeze hasn't come on yet, as far as I know. Sure, some squeezes, but not the big squeeze yet. And what about it? You get to get around and encourage each other. Talk about this word, the promise which brings that revealed faith. Brother, sister, the Bible said, hold to it. Because if you don't hold to it, you'll believe the lie. Right. Well, doesn't the Bible say so? Because they receive not the truth, the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. You say, well, I think I'm going to make it just the same because, hallelujah. You see what it is, Brother Dale? I've got Jesus on Calvary. He said, I'm going to annul my covenant, that covenant that you made with death. I'm going to annul it.
See?
See, you can say, well, that's a blood sacrifice. So was his a blood sacrifice. Turn down the word of God. You've got nothing to look for but judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour you. Ain't nobody got nothing. That's exactly what's going to happen. You ain't got it. That's right. You believe a man that says you ain't got nothing, the next thing you do is come out and say, you put me right. Ain't nobody got nothing. Now I believe you'll help me to get something. Well, I'm glad you asked. Just like your brother Beans, the matter, we carried Brother Hicks and I carried the pulpit. And I said, I brought my pulpit along in case somebody asked me to preach. How obvious can you get and yet be fooled? See? There's your warning, death in all to all in unbelief. Now think on the 20th century negative confession. God sent an absolutely vindicated prophet. He sent his prophet. Amen? His prophet. He proved that he sent him. The prophet brought the word. He opened the seal. In the seals were the seven thunders. He preached the serpent seed, election. He set the church in order. He taught no eternal hell. He brought the truth in Matthew 25, where many shall go into eternal life, having missed the bride. All the mysteries were revealed. The former rain had fallen. The latter rain came upon him. You say, Brother Bill, did you be the latter rain's vomit? Finish. Remember Brother Branham said that sword came in his hand? It was a real sword. Was it a real sword? Come on, was it? He said it was. If you don't think it's a real sword, then you don't believe God's real. See, I've got news for you. If you get to heaven with that kind of an attitude, you're going to run smack into the tree of life and drop dead and hitting it. Because it'll be there and you won't see it. Because God's things are real. We just don't see them. There was a real sword. Just like my glasses are real, except praise God they're going to go and they're not going to go and I go. They're going to be gone someplace else. That was a real sword. Then he said, that seventh dove. He called the seventh dove, although he was a seventh messenger. And that dove came to the exact spot where the sword was. So, if the word is the former rain, and it came, then the dove, which is the Holy Ghost, also came, which is the latter rain. And he said, when he came, I would decrease. What did he? Then who would increase? The Holy Ghost. But we ain't got none. Ain't nobody got the Holy Ghost. At least ain't nobody got the token. Do you want me to read about that? Listen, you people don't know about the token. Read the token when you go home, and then read the book, Desperation, because Desperation was preached the night of that morning service. Read it. And you'll go to page 4, I believe it is, and from 4 to, I think it is 36 and 37 and 41. I'm not quite sure now. You want my book? I'll read it. Let's check it out. Every place we've spoken the token. Ain't nobody got it. If you haven't got it, why haven't you rushed to? If the people haven't got it, my preacher friends, why haven't you taught them how to receive it? Because without the Holy Ghost, which is a token, you are none of Christ. And how long are you going to wait to be one of Christ? For behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give unto man according to his work shall be. And he that is righteous still, and he that is filthy still. Amen. Oh yeah. The dove came. The bride has all she needs to put her in the rapture, said the prophet. But she is like Israel, she is green. Like Israel, she doesn't seem to have a thing. People are looking for this and for that to come. They want more message or more something to make the message work in them. Some say, we ain't got nothing. Oh, negative confession of the 20th century. Will you die in unbelief with your negative confession? You certainly will. What did Moses give but the word? Huh? until it came time for the appearing of the leader of the host of Israel. The gifts of gifted men only separate and deceive. Gifted men came on the scene and pulled them away. What can William Branham give but the word? He said the last sign this earth would see, which is spiritual death of those who don't take it, is a messianic sign which is reading the hearts of people. Oh, what a piddly sign. That's right, what a piddly sign. To give this great people, intellectual, power-hungry people, to give them a little sign like that. Why, the great Myers in Florida, when he was there for years, I saw him on TV. Intrigued me. I'm sure he could tell people's names. But you could write questions down. He would tell you the questions and tell you the answer and how they'd come out. But did he have thus saith the Lord? No. Did he have the word? No. Did he point to the Christ? No. Was he a prophet? False one. He was a necromancer, a spiritist, crystal ball gazer from the heart of the devil. But people look at him and they say, oh, well, William Branham has a familiar spirit. Like this Trinitarian preacher, Pentecostal in Florida, said, I'm going to lower the boom on William Branham. If you must know, he's got a familiar spirit in his journey. The Holy Ghost is not called the prophet spirit, the devil. Sure. They're looking for some other sign. Spiritual death came to Israel. To Egypt. The last sign was spiritual death. Don't you understand? He said, America, I do not pray for you. I wouldn't waste my time. Yet the herald is coming and says, pray for America. Oh, God, send a prophet. They say, Brother Branham didn't fill his office of the prophet. He said to be a prophet. Then how come he said he was alive to the prophet? He lied. Because the prophet's a prophet. That's right, he lied. Say, when did he ever say it? His own wife, before she married him, wanted a verse from God, whether she ought to marry him or not, and she went in death, breaks the Bible, and opened it, and Malachi 4, 5, and 6, and he said, see, God showed her what he was. One more time, Lord, in New York, he said, I'm that prophet. He said in Florida, if you'd only believe that I am that prophet, not because I say so, but because the Word of God says so. How can you call yourself a prophet if you don't function? If your unction don't function, where are you? A teacher that can't teach. A preacher that can't preach. An artist that can't draw. A pianist that can't play. Hogwash. I'm not smart. I can get took easy, but not something like this. He was and he is. And if he was and he is, he did what was and is supposed to do. The prophet, he did. Yes, let us cease looking at self and others and believe and say what he told us to say. For he said, say what I say. Let us remember Abraham and live. For he considered neither himself nor Sarah. Yeah. That's right. Didn't consider himself or Sarah. I don't profess to have anything, but nobody else got anything either. Well, that's silly. Why would I stand up here and lie? Why would I tell you I haven't got anything and you haven't got anything? Why would I try to sell you short when, bless your heart, you've got that Word of God? And since you've got that Word of God, and that Word of God has been believed by you, then what do you got? Let's go to Romans, the 4th chapter again, and find out. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. We got a promise coming to us. The bride is going to be the Word, is going to be united to the Word. The bride will become the literal Word. By being a word bride through the Spirit of God, that is the dynamics falling on the mechanics. That's our promise. Restoration. Getting us ready. Remember, Elijah came to get ready a people prepared for the Lord. The elect of God are made ready by Elijah. What did he do? The Word. Show me where Brother Branham said his miracles did it. Show me where he says miracles will do it. The Word. All right, listen. staggered not the promise of God to believe, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. For what? The Word. That's all he had to thank him for, was the Word. He couldn't thank him for the Son because the Son hadn't come. He couldn't thank him for a new body because the new body hadn't come. He thanked him for the Word. Right? Right. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And you don't wait for God to perform it. And you say, I got something. You thank God for the Word that's causing it all. If you haven't got faith in this Word, you'll never get what's going to come out of it. Now listen. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Is that right? Amen. What imputed? His faith in what? The Word, which was going to bring into evidence every single thing that God said would come into evidence. Now, just go back to Joel, the second chapter. All right. Listen. And I will restore unto you the ears that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, palmworm, and my great army, which I have sent among you. He's going to restore. On what ground? Be glad then, you children of Zion. Verse 23. And Zion is the rapture. You children of the rapture, rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain and the first. That doesn't say they got month in here, but I don't go by month. I just go by says first, whatever that is. In other words, he's going to restore the first rain, and going to make it bigger and better, and then the Holy Ghost is going to fall on us. Listen, and the fat shall be full of wheat, and overflow with wine and oil. Then it says down below, and ye shall know I am in the midst of Israel, and I am your Lord your God, and none else, and that my people shall never be ashamed. And that's to tell us here that this is a time when this has been given, that the people will not be ashamed. There's coming a time on earth when God will stand behind his word and so back it up that it's all going to come to pass. That's why I believe it says at the end time they're going to come to the wedding supper and be cast out. I don't understand it, but I believe that's coming in there. Now, there's a verse in here. I'm just trying to get it. And the Septuagint, it could be that 22nd verse. In there it says, he hath given you this food for righteousness. Which is actually how it should be translated from the Hebrew also. In other words, as God gave Moses that word, and he believed it, and it was his righteousness, so God gives the former rain, which is the word, which the Holy Ghost falls upon, which is our righteousness. See? Now, have you got something to hand me? You ain't got nothing? And then the Bible said you've thrown away your garment. It says hold it. Hold fast your garment. Lest you be found naked. See? Now, God justifies the ungodly. What's an ungodly man? He's a man that doesn't dress up, doesn't clean up. He's ungodly. And God declares him righteous. On what grounds? Faith. And on what grounds are we justified? By faith. Ain't nobody got nothing? You look at yourself like Israel. I can't make it. I can't do it. There's nothing going on. Nobody's praying. Nobody's doing this. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't pray. We should pray more. Brother Branham said, that's right. You can't do too much praying, long as you do the right kind. And the right kind is to be submissive to God. That's the kind of praying to do. Not say, give me this, give me that, do this, do this. It's, Lord, help me to be submissive so that your word may come to me and through me. Which is not to be a prophet, which is just to be a Christian. See? In the hand of God. See, that kind of praying. Now, we do it. But people always stressing, it's have faith. Believe that word. See, this is our righteousness. This is our food. No wonder the prophet's theme song was only believe. Now, listen, let me warn you something now. We're not finished yet. We'll be finished though before the 2 hours is up. Let's go to Numbers, the 14th chapter. 40 to 45. And they rose early in the morning. That's now, here it is. Israel gets shook up. Refused to go in. Refused to believe the word. Wanted something else. God, do something else. Lord, we'll go in if you annihilate the whole bunch and so on. But listen, he says here, they rose up in the morning and got the mountain saying, lo, we're going to go up to the land which the Lord has promised us we'd sin. We made a mistake. We did have something after all. The word would have done it. That's all we needed. What, to believe you, Moses? We're sorry. Moses said, wherefore now if you transgress the command of the Lord, it shall not prosper. It's too late. No use trying to believe now. You had your chance. You turned it down. The Lord's not among you. You'll be smitten before your enemy. But verse 44, they presumed to go up to the hilltop. Now what about these guys that say you ain't got nothing but grin, I hear you do want. Now they can't produce. Don't try to produce. Don't think they're just out there in the Pentecostal, my brother, my sister. They're around us too. Don't try to produce. Now what happened? The Lord didn't go with them. Listen, they presumed to go to the top of the hill. Nevertheless, the ark of the come the Lord, where the word of God was, and Moses didn't leave camp. What if you're waiting for something to happen that doesn't happen? Huh? What if you're looking for this or that to happen? Is this man to come or that man to come? Or this one to come back or that one to come back? What if they don't move? What if the ark doesn't go where you go? You're not going to make it. Why? Because you don't believe. Oh, I do believe. No, now look, shut up right now, please. Let's simmer down. You don't believe. Let's get real honest and pretend we're playing church. Mostly we pretend that. Let's pretend that we're really playing church. Come on. Christ is here in our midst. He's got it because he came back by the word. Let the word judge us this morning. What do we really believe? Are we all the way for this word? Do we really believe that word came? Have we got faith in it? Or what? What are you saying? Are you sold on? Because if you aren't, Moses didn't go and the ark didn't go. And I don't believe that anybody is going to be where William Branham is and the word of God in that resurrection unless we go by the word that he gave us, that he said the bride's got all she needs to get her ready. And that's what Elijah does. He gets ready the prepared people to put in that rapture. He said, then why haven't we been taken up? Because the time hasn't come. After God stood on earth and said, Abraham, now you're going to have it. As far as I know, it took at least 28 days or a month or months. When one morning they woke up like kids again and produced that son. Is that right? Certainly. Now listen, hold that in mind and turn to Matthew chapter 25, verses 10 to 13. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. Now, they said, you folk ain't got nothing. They said, do tell. Well, now, brother, sister, I've been thinking that way. I'm dry, never was dry. It just seems terrible. And ain't nothing being done. I think maybe you're right. So you ain't got no oil. Yes, I believe you're right. Now, let's get oil. You take me by the hand, and we'll get oil. Oh, come skippity skip along. I'll take you and get the oil. So they went to get the oil. And the bridegroom came, and they that were ready, prophet's word, turning the faith back by the message. It's the message that foreruns, is that right? The message foreruns Christ? And then the message foreruns Christ. Now, if you don't believe you got the message, that's all right. You say, what do you mean it's all right? I mean, I'm not going to argue. I believe we got it. See? I don't know anything else to tell you. Now, then they went to the marriage and the door was shut. Afterward, came all those that said, we ain't got nothing, we sure want some now. The Lord came over to us. And he said, I used to know he's my wife, but I don't know he's my wife anymore. See, why? Too late. Oh, we must believe the word. The original seed bears within it the full power of transformation. Now, if his ministry wasn't finished and we didn't get the word, then we don't have the seed. But if he did bring the word, see, and the seventh seal, the mysteries are all open, then we have that word, and it has the full power of transformation, or to bring forth the hybrid. Is that right? If it doesn't have the full power of transformation, if that word is not Christ revealed in the bride, coming in that bride, it'll never bring forth the resurrection. You better believe it. But if it's unadulterated, pure original seed, it'll do it. The fruitful seed, listen, the fruitful seed is not the one you see, like a farmer takes the seed up, but the one buried, lying in the sun, in the dirt, This is the one that brings forth light. Is that right?
Sure.
Have faith in the descended revealed word, Christ, the word for today. And listen. If the five foolish virgins make it, huh? And they do, at the white throne, okay, they make it, and they don't have this word to do it. Now what about us who have the word and try to believe it? You think you missed the rapture? How could you? What's all this nonsense? This negative confession. Did not the former rain fall? Was it not the word of God in good ground? Or will there be another planting? The Bible doesn't say so. All the time, looking back and forward, but never seeing what's going on. Did he not often say, I, the Lord, have planted it and watered it day and night, that none should pluck it out of my hand? I want you to find that in the Bible. I can't find it. I can find part of it. You said that Brother Branham shouldn't do it. Hogwash, the prophet Paul did it. By the Holy Ghost, William Branham said, I have planted it. I, the Lord, have planted it. Not will have. And water it by the latter rain day and night. He'll give you dreams at night. Lest any should pluck it out of my hand. Planted the two, there came good fruit. Never took sides. Walked in the Word. Then if it is planted, leave it there. And listen to Mark, the fourth chapter. And he said, so is the kingdom of God. If a man should cast seed in the ground, and should sleep, and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow, he knoweth not how. Brother Branham planted the seed and died. Went to sleep. He had to leave that word, and everything that he stood for was Jesus Christ. He knows not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. And when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he, the Holy Ghost, Christ, puts in the sickle, the harvest has come. This planted word in the bride is springing up into everlasting life. And when the bride is fully ripe from having matured, hidden, obscured, lying in the sun, then God can have his harvest. Now listen. Let's read verses 21 to 25 that precede these. And he said to them, is a candle brought, be put under a bushel or a bed, and not set in a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. And he tells you here, not with what the book seems to say, but what the actual Greek says, there has nothing hidden, been hidden, but in order that it may be revealed. And there is nothing kept secret, but in order that it may be manifest. The word of God hidden. People going by, looking at each other. Maybe sit down and talk to you. Well, I don't feel a thing. Do you think maybe something else got to happen? There's lots of things going to happen. Oh, sure. You show me the time a child didn't grow up when things were happening. And what I mean happening is the word of God being revealed. Christ coming in, more tenderly and beautifully. Oh, I feel rejoicing this morning, brother, sister. I don't know about you, but I feel good in my soul. If you said that you ain't got nothing, I'd say, well, just leave me the way I am, because this is the best nothing I ever had. Yeah. If this ice cream I got is ersatz, give me ersatz. I hate your ignorance. If you've got the real and I've got the phony, you just leave me alone, because I'm just happy this way. Because I don't want your real. I'd sooner have my phony. Now listen. He said it's going to be shown. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said, take heed to what you hear. See? With what measure meet? Be measured you. See? What does he say, take heed? Keep an eye on what you're hearing. See if it checks with the word of God. Remember Israel, brother, sister, their negative confession. He said, go on. Go on. Wait, we're not trained. We're not theologians. We don't understand. We just don't understand this way. Go on. Believe it. Go on in. Haven't you seen? Look what I produced. Do you need any more? Look, had Moses stood there for the next 20 years. Just give me something else. Just give me something else. Look at it. Brother, sister, I want to tell you something. You can't wait till you're 40 years old to learn to walk. No little baby that's a real baby wants to do anything but walk. Why? Because there's something in here called maturation. And he's got to bring forward what's in there. There's a word in here. It's crying for expression. And the expression is crying for is faith in that word to believe. Not you're going to be a great army. Israel, the next time around, when God let Israel in, they still weren't a trained army. They still weren't able by themselves. They just said, well, we've come to the place we believe. We've seen everything else going on here. We've grown up through this last 40 years. And brother, sister, the pillar of fire will be here 40 years by 1973. I'll be the bride who goes that time. I don't say she will, I just be she will. Because I'm no prophet, I'll be she goes. 40 years they wandered around. But I want to tell you, that group that was growing up, they'd seen all this. They said, look at you guys, you pity those. You haven't got it. That's true, but we have. We're going in. Yeah, but Joshua trained you. No, sir, Joshua didn't train anybody. Well, you got new swords. No, sir, we just got a bunch of old clubs and just old junky things laying hands on. Well, where's your training? Didn't have any. How are you going to do it? God's going to do it. So they go in there. How are you going to get it? Well, said Joshua, I tell you what. What I want you to do is just simple. March around that city 6 days in a row, one time each day. So they did it. He said, the seventh time, go seven times around. See, the seventh age, the seven mysteries, it's all completed. Jericho comes tumbling down, Babylon, all that old junk. See, the saints go marching in. Were they better trained? No. They were dumber by the standards of the world. They had less to boast about, less to work with. See? No. What a tragic thing it was in the eyes of the world. But they went anyway. Listen, brother, sister, this is our answer. This morning, believe it, what the prophet taught. Don't go negative. Stay with the camel. It was the camel that brought Eliezer, the messenger, to Rebekah. All right? It was the word, because the prophet is the word. It was the word that brought the prophet, the messenger, to the bride. And Rebekah climbed on the camel that took her to wife. If you believe that Brother Branham was that word prophet, then just get on that word and stick with it. It'll take you home. Because you're not going to produce one thing apart from that word being in you producing it that God will accept. And you've got to have the word first. Now make up your mind if you've got the word. Have you? Amen. He said, I, the Lord, have planted it. And I'll water it night and day, lest any man should pluck it out of my hand. My Father which gave to me is greater than all, and no man can pluck them out of my hand. Negative confession, 20th century. Full of it. The youth have no hope for the establishment, so-called. The hands that fed them. That gave them the lap of luxury they have today in America. They want to tear it down. See? Boys wearing their hair down here. Wanting the millennium, which God's going to give them. Their hair will be down here in the millennium, no doubt about it. Young girls that are a prostitute. Renegade. You can't believe until you come in contact. As I visited the jail with Ned Iverson down there in South Carolina. Columbia. A little girl, 13 years of age, taking dope, picked up a gun, and walked into a car of an Air Force officer, and made him drive down the road to her, hoping she'd get him to get on a plane and take her off. Why'd you do it? I don't know. He said, I think that'd be too much television today. You love your parents? Yeah. You want to go home? Yes. When she couldn't get away into prison, she flooded the prison cell. Talk to her, she's a sweet kid. Girls with long hair, prostitutes, at 12 and 13 years of age. That's actual prostitutes. They're not worth a plug nickel. Hardly worth the powder of your atomic bomb to blow them high. That sounds like rough language, brother, sister, but that's what happened. What are they? They want their long hair, women, the millennium, down here. Women say, I can cut my hair? Not even bang. When are women going to give up? You're the stubbornness in the world. You're like the sand out there that gulps the ship. Soft and clingy, but you'll go to hell and take your kids out because you won't give up a little thing. What's the matter, ain't you? I'm hard-nosed and stubborn, but my God, a thing like that, that's easy in the world. No. People today, men here, shoulders. It's the millennium. Women, hair down there. It's the millennium. But who's going to go in? The bride. America, gone for Americana. Everybody wants to go back to Wild West. Why? Because that's when the country's virgin, the last land, virgin land, America, typing, old Israel. Israel typing America, whichever you want to put. They want to roll the clock back. You can't do it. But one day, brother, sister, there's going to be a man come down out of heaven. In flames of fire, taking judgment. They'll leave neither root nor branch. And you clean up the land. And the water that destroyed the world for one and saved for the other, I believe, that same fire is going to come. Enter within the veil, my brother, my sister, this morning. Enter in and have your bodies washed with the pure water by the washing of the Word of God. For believe me, before Sarah entered, and rather not Sarah, but Rebecca entered her Isaac, the loved one. She was purified, don't worry, she was washed. She was made ready. The prophet came. He brought the Word of God. Thank God for that Word. Don't be ashamed of that Word. Don't be afraid you missed something. The Bible said if you're fear of, you're afraid of anything, be afraid you haven't picked up what was there to pick up. And then if you can come away saying, well, I guess we didn't get it after all. You didn't pick anything up. I believe I picked something up, brother, sister. My hope is built on that Word this morning. I say, if I'm not right this morning, I've got no place to turn. I've got no place to go. I'm risking everything I've got. I'm not going to sing the old songs you sing anymore. He put a new song in my heart this morning. Not going the old way it used to go. No, there's a better way to go. That's the way it is. The Lord bless you. We could talk another 2 hours because my throat hasn't given out. But I believe by now you've given out, so to speak. But God bless you. And may you have courage that don't be a negative confession of any sense, but be a positive confession. Stick with the Word of God and say what He said. Let's rise and be dismissed. Gracious Eternal Father, we do look away to you now, Lord, having brought the Word of truth. As the best I know, what is the truth, O God, revealed by the prophet. And Father, if my understanding has been wrong in any point, I haven't meant, Lord God, to be wrong, and I'm not a hypocrite, not for 1 minute, but you know my heart, Lord. But Lord Jesus, I remember a promise you made me. I believe it was you who said, I'll teach you that second coming. I believe, Lord, that you said it, and I'm standing on it, O God. And haven't meant, Lord, to vituperate or excoriate anybody this morning, not to hurt anybody. But, oh God, if they're saying it, and they're spreading around this land, and Lord, I'm going to raise my voice to the ones that I feel responsible for, that they might know that this isn't true. Lord God, if you took me today, and you took me in judgment, I'd still have to stand up and say, when I saw that prophet and heard that word, Lord, I had everything that I needed, oh God. Something lies in me, and not in you, in that word, Lord, to fail. Oh God, I know that's true. And I stand on, Lord, there's something more to come. I know, Lord, when the mesodynamics fall in the mechanics, day by day, water day and night. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I believe you'll give me what I need for that moment. But, Lord, I'm not looking ahead tomorrow. And I'm not looking back on yesterday. I'm looking right now, Lord, at that word today. And I'm filled with it, oh, God. Hallelujah. And I'm filled with you, Lord. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Not sinking sand. But have revealed word of the living God, Christ Himself. Oh God, make us one this morning. Lord Jesus, I'm so thankful your Spirit's here that there's nothing been harsh said. Lord, it might have been harsh in a way, but not meant to be harsh. And I know no one took it harsh. I know, Lord, there's a good Spirit here this morning of love and meekness and enduring kindness, gentleness, goodness, and the Holy Ghost. I appreciate that, Lord. And I'm looking forward, Lord, to see you. By the grace of God, those that, Lord, will be standing here at that very end time, though some may go by death, that's fine. That's fine, Lord. Some standing here shall not see them. Oh, God bless them, Lord, and if we all be a part of it, thank you already for blessing which is ours. And now unto the King eternal and immortal, this one, the only wise God, the all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ, whom we love. And He is worthy. Hallelujah, He is worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Hallelujah. Unto Him be might and dominion. Who giveth revelation? Who giveth the sun in these days? And the moon by night is set of the stars in order. Put them out at night and bring them in the morning. Calls them all by name. He who laid his stars in the grave. During that night will bring them forth in the morning. Hallelujah. All the stars rise and sing around that day star. Oh God. No more will that star be shining at night. But that star will be shining in the day. Oh, what a blissful day that's going to be. Lord Jesus, deliver us from every woman thought of our own. anything, oh God, we might have. Help us to disabuse ourselves of everything which is not in line with that word. Being new, strip our minds, oh God. Give us, as Brother Branham said, this word has spiritual amnesia. Give us, oh God, a carnal amnesia. Blot out the carnal. And every thought's not of thee. Give us an amnesia toward theology, dogmatics, anything else. A spiritual restoration of truth. Taking it. Oh, hallelujah. Die with the life of Christ. Breathe on it. Let Ezekiel's vision come to pass, oh God. Breathe upon those dry bones. So they come together in flesh and sinew there. Rising up. God grant it unto the King eternal and mortal visible, the only wise God be all power. And honor and glory through Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. If you want a single walk in the light, somebody can start and just vote quietly.